In marketing, it is a rapid gaming system, similar in the sense of you can have a feedback loop every single day. Like, I did some activity, I got these sort of stats from it, and I'm making informed decisions and changes for the next sequence or whatever it is. I actually don't think you should make marketing decisions daily, but I do think you can make them weekly. Welcome to Marketing with Matt. If you're an entrepreneur or business owner looking to create more margin in your life and business, you're in the right place. For more after the show, be sure to check out profitmoreworkless.com. I feel like as we get older, we continuously increase the amount of information we intentionally like forget. We just push it out of our mind like that's not going to happen. Does that happen to you?
A little bit. I think I'm becoming conscious of it now, where maybe it was happening.
You were accidentally doing it?
Yeah. Like, but now I'm like, I don't need all of this.
Do you remember all the parents' names of like the other kids in your kids' classes? No. You're like, oh, nice to meet you. I will not remember this forever. And like even walk away and honestly forget. So not specifically that I want to talk about today, but actually there's a surprising area that I've been very involved with for over a decade. And it has increasingly owned less and less real estate in my mind. And I think it actually speaks to a really important, powerful concept when it comes to marketing. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And so roughly, let's say 2008, maybe 2009, how many years ago would that be? 15 years? 15 years ago. Coming on, 15 years ago, there started a fantasy football league. And so I had made a number of friends studying abroad in Argentina. We came back to the States. And how do we solidify our friendship? We start a fantasy football league. This league has existed now for 15 years, which some folks probably have leagues from like high school and older than that. And it's not uncommon. And there's leagues now for like every sport in the fantasy. If you're unfamiliar with this concept, it is you create a fictitious team by assembling team members from other teams. There's a sort of fictitious point system that's sort of related to how they do in the real world, but it's more so measured by the individual player. You assemble these teams, you even go through a draft, and then week by week, you sort of have this extra dimension. There's the real teams, whether they win or lose, and you might have a fanship for them, like the local team or whatever, like Rams. I'm going to watch the Rams. I hope they win because I'm in LA, or actually Chargers for me. And now you have the secondary team, which is the one you drafted this year, and it keeps going. And so you can get very in depth with this. And so this is just part of, I think, a childlike love of games and a childlike love of sports. And it carries with you. And a lot of, I feel like a lot of people do this. And
it's become, it has become what you said too, a community, a place where people like guys stay together and they stay connected, where many people would have fallen apart. There are those leagues that have kept friendships together over years.
It's a unifying thing. Yeah. I mean, now to go from like, if I think of the fantasy football or fantasy football league, everyone lives in different places. Like we started off, we might've been living in the same, you know, building or even roommates. Now we're states apart and it's just harder to stay in touch. And so this is a good excuse. You're like, oh man, this season, the football season's coming up. I'm going to hear from these guys more regularly. There's going to be a group chat that pops off and there'll just be another excuse for conversation and catch up. Even when we do like the draft, you know, the draft night. And it's just like hanging out and doing a draft, even if it's virtually on Zoom. And so this is fantasy football. People would not expect that of me. And that's probably appropriate because sports has actually become a less and less large part of my life. It actually wasn't a huge part of my life, even in childhood, mostly because we didn't have television. It's weird to think about, but like we didn't spring for like the ability to view all of the games. And hear me some other context there. I'm from San Diego. Back in the day, they had a policy where if the stadium didn't sell out, they wouldn't televise the game. So we had, you know, fandom over the local teams. I couldn't even watch other teams. However, there was a weird thing. If you guys know anything about San Diego teams, and we're talking like the 90s and early 2000s of football and baseball, we were very good at disappointing fans. And I say we mean like the Chargers and the Padres would had some moments where there was greatness. You get super excited. You thought it was going to go all the way. And then we would just lose it.
I once said that the Chargers were great at snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory.
That's a great way to put it. So this is my team. Now, I would have loved to watch it more, but it was literally not televised because people wouldn't even buy tickets to go to the game. And so if not enough people bought tickets, you couldn't even see it on the TV. So just a little context of why it just wasn't a natural thing of like, oh yeah, I watch all the games every weekend because like that wasn't a thing because we literally couldn't. And so nowadays we're privileged. You can watch it on the internet. You can watch it everywhere. And that's no longer a thing, but little bit of context there. Into college, I got more into it. I had friends, like I had a roommate. We watched ESPN every single night. And that was a new thing for me. I did not grow up. That was not a high school thing. I was like college. And that's where it started. And so there's always a little bit of a love of competition and gaming. That's why sports are popular and whatever. And so, but as I've grown, I have this fantasy football league. And I've allocated less and less energy to not only I wouldn't say the league, because I enjoy the connections, the relationships, but actually watching the games or staying in touch with the players, their stats,
And I think that's something not for people to understand. If most people know what fantasy football is at this time, but if you don't, some people get really into understanding the analytics behind each player. To a point where there's podcasts, there's TV shows, there's news bits, there's magazines, there's
you can debrief all of it.
There is and people will spend hours of their week every single week just to set their lineup for the coming week. And so, Matt, like you used to not maybe be that extreme, but you used to be a little bit more into.
I would watch as many of the games as I could. I was definitely like watching the app throughout all of the games, paying attention. I had more of like that gut feeling. Like, oh man, I saw some of these games. I'm like, I think there's going to be promise over here. Or even sometimes it's adopted gut feelings. I don't know if that happens. Like you listen to commentators and you have ones that you resonate with. You hear their arguments. You're like, I agree with that or I disagree with that. Well, so over the last, I'm just going to say 15 years, but it's probably escalated with like kids and business and all these other things taking up energy. I have less and less energy and mind space that I allocate towards this. And so, but it's interesting is I think 2 years ago, two or three years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, actually, I won our entire season. I made it through regular season, won through playoffs. I won the entire fantasy football league, got first place, and I allocated about 30 minutes per week, which is really probably angering to some folks. And But this is how I approached it with limited time. I constrained. Here was the time that I had. And so I would come in and it became a purely analytical decision. There was no emotion behind it whatsoever. I was looking at trends, I was looking at competition, and I was making as best of an informed decision as I could make in as little time as possible. And I won the entire league. And I'll say, like, from draft day, this usually happens because there's so much more speculation and emotion behind draft. And never in the league's history has anyone ever been like, oh, Matt got the best draft. We have people who like they summarize the draft and all the stuff coming out of there. And it's never like, oh, Matt, solid pick, got some great sleepers or whatever this is going to get here. And that's never me because I'm probably not thinking that deeply about it to even make those kind of draft picks. There's a little bit of it's very unemotional. And so part of this is luck, but they're like sometimes you get lucky. That expectations are met. The other part, I think, is actually the removed emotional decision. So I'd say, 2 years ago, I won it all. Last year, I think I came in like third place. And I look like trending over time of the entire time we've had the season, I think my average place is probably around third. Think about that. And it's increasingly been less time allocated. Ironically, some of the folks that are like making trades every week, like deliberately trying to do everything, end up in the worst position sometimes because they're more emotional than me. And so like they feel like the season's already thrown away. So they just like they make trades just to get keepers for the next year or whatever. They sort of like tank their positioning thinking of like next, like there's a lot of gamification going on.
Sure.
Let me tie this back to marketing. In marketing, it is a rapid gaming system, similar in the sense of you can have a feedback loop every single day. Like I did some activity. I got these sort of stats from it and I'm making informed decisions and changes for the next sequence or whatever it is. I actually don't think you should make marketing decisions daily, but I do think you can make them weekly. I actually think that's a fair enough cadence of changes. Now you can do it daily. You can actually accelerate that. This is like the people in fantasy football who are making trades every other day. However, in my mind, I pair it with a very similar cadence there. And I think there's some magic if you can focus on looking at a little bit more analytical, focusing on trends and then anticipated weaknesses going forward. Like, what are the competitors that we're looking at? And then trying to make a few intentional changes that are less emotional, letting them ride out, and then kind of evaluating that on weekly. That's basically how I run my fantasy football. And I think there's actually wisdom there on the marketing side of it, because you may not be as in the weeds as I am about marketing. Like, I am day to day, I'm consuming so much news. I had someone on the YouTube video, one of our YouTube videos, commenting about the, actually it was a past podcast here where we talked about Perplexity, and they were challenging, like, who even announced this? And I was like, I got to respond, I was like, WordPress did. Here's the link to the article. Like, this is where I learned it, because I subscribe to WordPress.com's blogs and like read what they're going, what they're doing and going on with it, because this is just the world of digital marketing that like I love and live in. And so I spend a lot of brain power holding on to these tidbits and facts here. But you don't have to get in like the top three, like, and maybe even possibly to win big. I think it comes down to, or if you're limited in that space, I think it's okay. I think the strong position to then be in is lean a little bit more analytical. And I have a couple of practical tips for you. So one, take your stats, give it to ChatGPT, and ask it to analyze it for you on a week-by-week basis. I think some folks are like, I don't know what I don't know. It's like, that's fine, but that's no longer an excuse to make an uninformed decision now. Like, I'll tell you, like, when
I'm... What kind of prompt do you use there? Do you just simply say analyze, or do you say...
Sometimes we'll start with as simple as analyzing. If you guys want... if you guys want, like, hey Matt, what are the prompts that you use that you like that are repeats? Just comment prompt below somewhere. Just hit me up in the comments and I'll maybe put it together, give you guys an easy quick download there. But honestly, I didn't masterfully engineer this. It was refined with time, similar to, you know, you're kind of going anything. But I honestly have seen starting with analyze is better than nothing. And sometimes that's all I get on like ESPN.com when it comes to fantasy football. I'm just saying, like, hey, can you give me like a what percent chance is going to go, or just like bare stats of like what's the stack up looking like? And you can get that very quickly, even with like a ChatGPT or a Claude or some sort of AI engine there, to give it the stats, let it analyze. And so I've mentioned it before, but if you're trying to figure like what are my key stats, especially from a marketing perspective, I'm looking at like who knows you exist. So that was, what was your reach? That could be views. That could be impressions, like give them the top level views, impressions, who is interested. This is more so leads. Like, you can go to like, how many leads did you get? So here was my reach, here was my leads, and then kind of pass through. Like, here was, maybe I give it a couple more degrees of between stranger to customer. Here's how many customers. And if you're like, what are extra degrees there? If I care more about like, I'm running a lot of paid advertising, I might go like reach, clicks, or kind of like landing page views. So I've got like reach, landing page views, leads, opened email, customer, or something like that, right? I might
You know what's really fascinating about this, Matt, is that there are a lot of people who spend a ton of emotion and time in their marketing decisions, but they didn't first start by creating a clear KPI sheet. Like, what is it I'm even working on? And I think that's why so many people get overwhelmed in analyzing and figuring out what to do next in their marketing. It's because they don't actually have a clear guideline.
Scoreboard.
Yeah, clear scoreboard.
We need a clear scoreboard. And that's, it's interesting in fantasy football or football, real football, there's a very clearly defined scoreboard. And so understanding that, that's foundational for me making those quick decisions, is I know, are we optimizing for receptions, or are we optimizing for touchdowns, or are we optimizing for yards? And we have in it, you know, we get people on in our league that are crazy and not crazy, but they're deep into it and they make those decisions. I'm like, I'm for it. You decide on the scoreboard. That's good for me. I'll play to whatever that scoreboard is. And so, this is one of those things where it's less about right and wrong, but I'll tell you the guaranteed wrong scoreboard is none. You are flying blind. And so don't spend too much time deeply, you know, critiquing, should it be click-through rate? Should it be landing page, you know, views? I honestly think if you wanted to, you can always give it more if you want to grab that. But I try to get to like about five where it feels practical enough to point me in the right direction, where it's going to tell me, here's the weakness, here's the test that I'd run. Because honestly, if your impressions to landing page views is really low, they know it's like, it's your click-through. Like, it can interpret the click-through rate, you know, and maybe if it says that's bad and you're looking like, that's really good, and there was some page loading error on your page, then fine, you can kind of get those critical things. But I'm trying to get the about five critical things that are measuring the journey from stranger to customer. And on the back end, if you wanted to, because I gave you some middle ones there, but if I went like impressions, leads, or impressions, landing page views, leads, I did open, I could go customers, and then I might go like revenue generated. So I can go all the way to monetary as well. So it's not only just giving me like number of customers, but also value per customer, which is an interesting thing when you're marketing efforts, like you're trying to optimize for that as well. Like truly of the ways you grow the business, you get more customers or you get them to spend more money with you. And so if you have a monetary component to it, it's like, it's definitely, it's helpful to get that analysis. So step one, get the analysis, even with ChatGPT, and then constrain yourself to making as fast of an informed decision as possible that translates to action. I had someone, I was doing an interview and they asked me, what's a current constraint? And the actual constraint that I thought of is the number of, I phrased it like this. It was sort of like independent or autonomous action takers. And so this is what I mean by it. I was truly like, folks, we're trying to elevate this. The number of folks who can be like, I saw an issue. I had an idea how to fix it. I actually implemented the fix. And here was the result of that. That full process to get someone to do that autonomously is very rare. And you have to like elevate trust, but also like decision-making power there. So it's a separate thing that I'm facing, but that's what you're trying to do for yourself. Do not fall into analysis paralysis. You want to, as quickly as possible, be like, that is awesome analysis. I'm going to go and do it, because you would be in a better place. Not just saying, here's the problem or things that I could possibly fix. Not even, here's the problem I can fix and here's possibly three ways I can maybe fix it. But it is so much better to be like, here's the problem I fix. Here's what I thought was the best way to do. I did it and here was the result. That full feedback loop is what counts. You're trying to get revolutions on the wheel. And so kind of building like three spokes of a 12-spoke wheel is not going to get you there faster. You're still going to go standstill. You're like, oh, this wasn't actually helpful. So just think about that. It's the full feedback loop of, I got analysis. I identified an area of improvement. I had an idea to improve. I actually executed on it. And now I got the feedback. And the faster I can do that, you can still win with bad ideas, because you'll be like narrowing down the options of things not to keep doing is still so valuable, because I see people sitting on problems, hypotheses of solutions. It might be a bad hypothesis, but they'll sit on it for months.
Right.
And so the loss isn't that the hypothesis was bad. The loss is the months of time that they went not even learning whether it was good or bad. So
if you're using fantasy football, right, you look at the data, you make a quick decision, and then you let it ride for the week. You don't think about it again. And then you look at it the next week and you make that change, where a lot of people get stuck in that. Well, I'm still thinking about my best lineup. I'm still thinking about the roster, and the season gets over. And all of a sudden you're like, I just blew 3 or 4 months getting stuck in like, well, let me get more data. Let me go think it through. Well, the data is in your next revolution, right? Get that next cycle through. I love that, the speed. And I've seen it in myself. I've seen it in our clients, but like analysis paralysis and like an addiction to like going and getting more information instead of just taking action.
Well, and I think this speaks to the other possibility of low energy attention. And I've seen this happen in our leagues too, is there are folks who come in and they draft and then they disappear. I've never seen them win.
Yeah.
So to be clear, I spend little energy, but not energy. Zero. And also I take few actions, but not no actions, if that makes sense.
That's huge. I actually think that's a very big thing. There is a point where it's like, okay, you have, what's the opposite of diminishing returns, right? You have marginal gain, right? You have marginal gain as you decrease your time. Yep. But if you decrease your time to zero, then the marginal gains go off a cliff and the gains become zero.
And so I think that's the other side of it. Some folks might be feeling like, oh, Matt, I spend little energy on marketing. But it's not just about putting low energy into it. It's about being analytical, constraining the amount of time that you have. And even if, like I said, if you don't feel like you're not fully deep into it, your mind isn't packed full with marketing knowledge, I think AI is a great assistant there to give it the data, let it even make the recommendations for you. You got to take action on it. And you'll start to develop helpful routines that are better predictors of wins. I'll give you mine in fantasy football. I almost always change my defense. Why? Because I'm just playing against the weakest offense. That's what I'm looking for. And so I will forego a, reputationally like great defensive team in lieu of someone who's coming up against the worst offensive team in the league. And so think about that. Like, and so I know every single week I'm always changing my defense, to try and get the matchup as much in my favor as possible, because I've seen that's a greater driver than like having the best defense going up, a higher stacked offense there. So I'm trying to maximize for something that's so simple. It's one decision there. I'm not getting into the weeds of how many yards they let through or anything like that. I'm literally trying to maximize the differential in rankings there between offense on the team that they're playing against and defense of the team there, and primarily maximizing for the worst offense.
Matt, I want to issue a challenge out to everybody. So if you are listening on the podcast or you're catching us somewhere else, go to YouTube to Marketing with Matt. Make sure you subscribe. And then on this video, find it and leave a comment, vote. I want you to say what place you think Matt's going to get this year in fantasy.
Oh, in my fantasy league? Yeah. I would love that.
And then we're going to revisit it in 16 weeks. And maybe Matt will come up with a prize for the winner.
We'll do a recap. Yeah, if you comment on here and tell me, if you really do, and you guess what place you think I'll get in the fantasy league, if you guess it right, I will absolutely find a prize for you. And if you guys know anything about me, I like to do pretty epic, awesome prizes. So yeah. That's a great challenge, Tyler. I appreciate that. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this. Let me know if you like this and this sort of formats. If you guys aren't already subscribed, you can subscribe on YouTube, obviously, but also on Spotify or Apple playlists or Apple podcast rather. Appreciate you being here, and hopefully this gave you some actionable insights you can put into your marketing plan, your marketing stack, and your cadence this week.
Thanks for tuning in for this week's Marketing with Matt. Check out profitmoreworkless.com to learn how we create high margin marketing. Also, if you know someone who'd enjoy the podcast, feel free to make a recommendation. I'm sure they'll thank you for it. Okay, bye for now.